In today's episode, I want to talk about some resources related to the ancient practice of monasticism and what it has to teach us today. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, Senior Pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. I am going to talk today about some resources related to the monastic life. And this is prompted by, it turns out I've been having a lot of conversations lately. I can't explain why that is exactly, but a lot of conversations about monasticism, about monks, about nuns, about desert fathers and mothers, all of whom have something to teach us. And I just wanted to share a few resources about that with you, prompted by all those conversations. One of those promptings was also, I suppose, the fact that Amanda Berger on our staff here, who is a certified spiritual director, and spiritual direction is connected to the monastic life in some ways. She's an oblate in the Benedictine tradition, which maybe I could talk about another time. But she just taught a class or a gathering, a one-time gathering last week, based on a book called Monk Habits for Everyday People. I don't have that book with me, but that's the name of a book actually by Dennis Ockholm. And in that class or that conversation with, and turned out a lot more people came to that than she was expecting, she talked about some of the practices of the Benedictine monastic tradition. And the Benedictine tradition is, it's not the only monastic tradition in the West, but it's certainly one of the most famous and oldest. It's based on the rule of Saint Benedict. I'll lift that up in a second. But among the practices that define the Benedictine monastic life are things like community and gratitude and hospitality and humility and listening and mindfulness and moderation in all things, all of which sound like really good things to aspire to. And so let me just go through a few resources again here that you may want to check out if you're interested in learning more about monks and nuns and about what they have to teach us. And it turns out I think they have a whole lot to teach us. And I'll start with the Rule of Saint Benedict, or in this translation it's called Saint Benedict's Rule, which is, again, it is perhaps, it's the touchstone for living together in community, for a rule of life that has now lasted more than 1,500 years. Benedict of Nursia, a city in Italy, is sometimes called the father of Western monasticism. So in some ways, that is a really good place to start. I'm taping this the day after St. Patrick's Day, so I'm also going to lift up a book about Ireland. And this, I don't know if you know this author. His name is Thomas Cahill. He wrote a number of books about how different organizations or areas or people impacted the world. This one is called How the Irish Saved Civilization, The Untold Story of Ireland's Heroic Role from the Fall of Rome to the Rise of Medieval Europe. And a lot of that story was about how the monastic community saved the treasures of Western civilization. So there's that book, also related to St. Patrick's Day. These next two aren't, they're not exactly monastic in nature, but they are holy people. And they're both by an old friend I've talked about before, by Frederick Buechner. The Ireland connection is a book called Brendan, a novel about Brendan the Navigator, who was born in Ireland in around 484, died about 90 years later. This was an award-winning novel, a historic novel kind of, about that holy man. Another related one is the novel about Godric, who lived in England. He was a 12th century holy person, so those are both interesting. Another author, I'm going to go through two other authors. I'll move through these quickly. You may have heard of this guy, is Thomas Merton. He's probably most famous for a book called The Seven Story Mountain, written in the 1960s. I believe he was a Trappist monk. So a few books I want to lift up by him. One is The Wisdom of the Desert. Which again lifts up sayings by desert fathers and mothers who were sort of precursors to the monastic movement. He also has a couple of little tiny books. One is called Praying the Psalms. Very important part of the monastic tradition is praying the Psalms. One is called Opening the Bible. Again, you can see how thin these are. This is both of them are interesting introductions to the Bible and to Psalms. Then another book of his, New Seeds of Contemplation. He wrote other things as well, but those, again, because he himself was a monk, he was a very influential writer in the 20th century. I thought I'd mention him. And then the last author I will mention is a woman from the Dakotas who ended up spending a lot of time at St. John's University and Abbey in Collegeville, Minnesota, which I think I may have mentioned here before. That is a Benedictine monastery again that turned into a college. And she is an oblate or oblate in the Benedictine tradition and has written a number of books related to her life as an oblate, including maybe I'll start with The Cloister Walk. A cloister is a space within a monastic enclosure. So this was a New York Times bestseller, and I can't remember, it was written in the 90s, I think. Another book she's famous for is Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith, Dakota, A Spiritual Geography, and this is not her most recent, but maybe her second to most recent book is a book called, I've got to remember how to say this again, Acedia and Me. Acedia and Me, A Marriage, Monks, and a Writer's Life. And Acedia is a sense of, let's see if I can even find it quickly here, restless boredom, frantic escapism, commitment phobia, and enervating despair, all of which she says we struggle with today, and which were defined by these desert mothers and fathers as something to be overcome. They were incredibly bright, thoughtful psychologists, these people, and she actually has another book, it's not coming out for another year or so, about the desert mothers and fathers, and again, that reminds me that I want to link to, we'll try to provide a card to this, an interview Kathleen Norris just did with James Martin, who I've talked about in other places, that is also filled with all kinds of wisdom about the monastic life and the wisdom of those who have gone before us in that tradition. I'll close with a couple of thoughts from Norris's The Cloister Walk, which again bring us back to maybe the start where I started a little bit by talking about Benedict and the rule of Benedict. So I will, and then I'm actually going to quote something from a chapter about Acedia, and this predates the book Acedia and Me. Anyway, here's what she says about the rule of Saint Benedict. Few books have so strongly influenced Western history as the Rule of Saint Benedict, written in the 6th century, a time as violent and troubled as our own, by a man determined to find a life of peace and stability for himself and others. It is a brief, practical and thoughtful work on how human beings can best live in community. Its style is so succinct that it is sometimes taught in law schools as an example of how to legislate simply and well, but the true power of the book, as with the gospel it is based on, lies in its power to change lives. So the whole point of this tradition, this monastic tradition, is to change lives. And later, and I'll close with this, in this chapter on Acedia, she's herself recognizing that sense of feeling, unable to be committed to anything, bored, worried, filled with anxiety. And she talks about going to an ordinary church service, which, by the way, in that interview with James Martin, she says going to church is one of the most important spiritual practices she does, right? This is a woman who's written all about monks and nuns and monasticism, and she makes it clear that that weekly rhythm of worshiping with other people is really important. So here in this ordinary church service, at a time when she was feeling down, I've gained the strength to live this moment, the present moment, for the first time in days. I recall something I read recently in a book on monastic practices. A life of prayer, the monk Charles Cummings wrote, is a life of beginning all over again. Ashamed, this is back to her voice now, ashamed of my own unsteadiness, my lack of courage, and in the words of another hymn, my heart so prone to wander from the God I love, I have the strength to take it all up again. This is a day to begin. And so perhaps this is a day for you to begin learning a little bit more about monks and nuns and what they have to teach us in 2026. And I hope some of these resources you find interesting. And I will look forward to seeing you next week. And until then, as always, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.